Amen. I wonder if you can remember a big-ish thing that you might have prayed for 12 months ago, 2 years ago? Something that you can just go, yeah, I asked God for this thing because I felt like I really, really needed it. Or maybe it was one of those things where you confidently asked God because you knew it was a good thing, that the giver of good things would want this blessing to be yours. I think for us, about 15 months ago, we were asking God to resolve our housing situation that just sort of seemed unstable on multiple fronts. I think we prayed boldly for God to resolve it because we felt like we were being distracted, that there were lots of good things that we wanted to get on with that we just sort of felt like we couldn't build momentum for. And it's sort of in those moments of asking for a good thing that I had a sense that if God says yes to this, then I will be faithful to what he gives. If our housing situation is more stable, then there'll be less time wasted having to move house, having to look for a house, and get on doing good. But 15 months on, with that answer being resolved for us, there's still pressures and tensions. It's actually a struggle to be faithful with what he's given. Am I less distracted? Have I gotten on doing more good? Well, the jury's still out, and I'm not really sure. You might have had a similar experience asking for a changed work situation, a time in your life where you pleaded with God to improve your health. When we have a crisis or we're at one of these crossroad moments or we feel like we're actually just in a fog, our desire to ask God to give, well, I think we ask with a quite strong certainty that if he gives, we will respond faithfully. But it's often down the track when the blessing indeed has come, when our prayer has been answered, where our dedication to be faithful comes with some major challenges. Distraction in other directions. This resolve that seems so strong and certain in us can weaken. We can become diluted in our attention. We started our journey last week in the book of 1 Samuel in a time of spiritual barrenness, social chaos, where it was just selfish ambition that was driving a community. And in the midst of that, we saw last week that God sees, he remembers, and he hears. We met a woman, as Martin has mentioned, Hannah, a woman broken and in obvious need, but a woman who believed in her heart in a God who hears, a woman who was bold enough to ask and was clearly heard. Hannah asked and God gave Samuel. And so today we pick up the story a little bit down the track, a year or so later, and it's sort of this crossroads moment, that past longing, that pouring out of her soul that we read about earlier in the chapter. It's now replaced with a dilemma. How is she going to respond? The emotional moment has passed, and it's really all about now following through on the vow that she's made to the Lord. With her crisis resolved, God having remembered her, the dilemma now in these last few verses of chapter 1 is, will Hannah remember him? Will she remember the vow that she made to him? Will she give back to the Lord who has given her such a blessing? But we see it begins with verse 21, when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow. Shiloh again, same location, same rhythm, but a very different season for this family. Elkanah heading towards the spiritual heartland of God's people And we read that he's got a vow to make of his own. Now, we're not given information about what that vow is, but it's just a reminder that everyone has their own business to do with the Lord. And so there he is, offering a sacrifice and wanting to fulfill his vow. Now think about it. Time has passed since the miracle of this tear-soaked prayer from Hannah, and then this immaculate conception and the growth in her womb of a baby. Elkanah and all his family went to sacrifice. But verse 22, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I'll take him and present him before the Lord, and he'll live there always." Now, there could be some alarm bells here. Is this going to be one of those continual patterns of delay? Oh, you know, I'll dedicate him when he's old enough to walk. Or maybe actually when he can dress himself. Or maybe it's actually most appropriate if we wait until he can talk properly so he can communicate. Maybe like the boarding school situation, we wait till he's school age and then we'll dedicate him. You see, there's a great danger here for Hannah to sort of think a boy needs his mother until whenever. You see, the dependence on God is a little bit easier in desperate times, isn't it? When you're facing a crisis, asking God can be easier, but it's when the dust has settled, when life is good, when you've got the blessing in your very arms, that excuses and self-justification can easily rise to the surface. Friends, faith is never just a one-off event. It's not even a periodic thing that you do. Faith in the Lord is a posture by which we navigate every aspect of life. Well, Elkanah knows his wife better than we do, and for him there are no alarm bells in her response. "Do what seems best to you," he says in verse 23. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." It's pretty powerful for a husband, isn't it? Affirming his wife's decision. He's confident in her discernment, but he adds that weird little phrase at the end, "May the Lord make good his word." It's pretty strange, isn't it? You'd think he'd sort of ask the Lord to strengthen Hannah in fulfilling her vow. But for the Lord to make good his word? Isn't God's word always good? Can his word somehow go bad? Well, I think what's going on here is that behind this personal drama of this family who were barren but now have been blessed with a child, there's a bigger story playing out. God has begun something new through Hannah, not just for her, but for Israel, indeed for his people at large. And I wonder whether Elkanah actually senses that. That God is rebuilding something new amongst what is so broken. That he's in the business of restoring this rhythm of his people being faithful in the midst of chaos. That by remembering this one woman in a desperate situation who asked, he's going to set in place and make good his word. It's like this idea of establishing his word and his promises as the foundation, like the slab of cement that the whole new construction is going to be built on. And Elkanah indeed did know the character of his wife, verse 24. "After Samuel was weaned, she took the boy with her." You see, the delay from Hannah wasn't hesitation, it wasn't second guessing, it wasn't disobedience. It seems that she was never going to back out of her vow, but she's actually just used some discernment about the situation she was in, waiting for the right moment to demonstrate her faith. And so Samuel, while still being a very small infant, totally dependent on his mother, vulnerable in nearly every way, Hannah knows it's not that time for her to hand him over. She's not this sort of kind of mother who can't comprehend the idea of ever sort of letting go of her children. Because we're reminded from last week that Hannah's not living by a sort of you do you, what's good for me. No, she's living with this posture of I trust in you, Lord. And trusting in the Lord isn't having full revelation of what the game plan is that he has in store for us. It's willing to accept what's been given to us and then to honour God with what has been given to us. And at times it's going to involve us applying wisdom because faith will often require us to wait, trusting that there'll be a future time to follow through and act on the opportunity that God has given to us. Delay doesn't always mean disobedience. As Martin was sharing, thinking through where he and Heidi have been, where they're going, it's a faithfulness, not knowing the concrete next step, but it's trusting in the one who does. What has God asked of us? When is the right time for us to walk down a particular path? You see, friends, there might have been a time in your life, there might be a time in your life now, or there might be an occasion in the future where God puts something like really clearly on your heart, where you have a clear sense that this is where God is leading you. This is what you were created to do and be, and your part in God's bigger plan. But there'll often be a season of waiting for that feeling to be tested, because that's wise, and then to be realised. And being faithful as you wait, being faithful like Hannah as she's holding her baby, that's pleasing to the Lord. But it's not easy. Now, like if we think about Hannah, she's got this child. After years of tears, the miraculousness of the birth, the warm snuggles, the first smile, the whispered prayers at night. And now she's heading off towards Shiloh, bringing her precious child with a full conviction to give him back. It's not a visit to the grandparents for an overnight stay. It's not even dropping the kids off at a camp. This is to leave her son forever. How would you feel in that moment? Surely he'd have some reservations. Wouldn't there just be some, like just a bit of bitterness somewhere there? Like, really, Lord? But not in Hannah. Because not only is she carrying her child, but she's not carrying, but probably escorting a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine. This is a thanksgiving offering, and it's a really big one. This is her being generous, her being joyful, her recognizing the cost. Friends, she doesn't fulfill her vow to the Lord reluctantly. She does it wholeheartedly. How can she? Well, surely it's because she knows that God is both generous and good. That he will care for this child. In fact, he cares for his people more than she ever could. And that he is able to execute his plan. You see, faith is trusting God even when we're really not sure how he's going to play the hand that's ahead. And friends, in a society that sort of wants to convince us that we know or should know how the next year, 3 years or 5 years is going to play out, let's just be honest, no one knows. Not one of us. I trust in you, Lord. Our Lord who is good, our Lord who is generous. And so then Hannah approaches the priest. Pardon me, my Lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood before you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. We see in Hannah in the whole of chapter 1 that she realizes that whatever is given to her never belongs to her. Her dedicating of her son is living out the essence of her prayer. If you give, Lord, I will give him back. It's a high trust in you, Lord, kind of life. See, I wonder, friends, whether we're actually sometimes afraid to ask God for stuff because we think it's selfish. But this idea of asking of him is actually pretty massive in this passage. The sort of, you can ask Martin about this, he's probably got the sharpest Hebrew out of all of us at the moment. But this little phrase, it's the essence of ask, is used 4 times in 20-7:28. It's the granted what I asked of him, now I give, will be given. I know it looks all a little bit different in English, but it really what's going on here, it's sort of like a highlighter in a textbook to sort of zoom in at what the real focus is. What's been asked of has been given. Even the root of Samuel's name means that when his name is said, it sounds a little bit like asked. It's just sort of the resounding thing here. God's people ask God to give. It's what God's people do. And so, Hannah there in verse 28, I give him to the Lord, for his whole life he'll be given over to the Lord. And then Samuel worshipped the Lord there. Friends, let's just feel this. I know Hannah's in the Bible and we expect people in the Bible to do the good thing, but she fulfilled her vow at great cost with a heart that was full of joy. It's pretty amazing. She gives back with this clear perspective that what she has was never really hers anyway. And in doing so, she's opening the door for a new future for all of God's people. And so there's this real contrast. We saw that the chapter started from the end of Judges with everyone doing what they thought was right in their own sight. Just a picture of chaos amongst God's people. But the chapter finishes with this one miracle child standing, worshipping the Lord. The contrast is stark. Through the faithful asking of a woman in a desperate situation, from a woman who asked God, believing in her heart that he hears, God is showing a glimpse of the future that he is building for everyone. All who are willing to trust in the Lord. Now, despite this sort of hopeful ending to the chapter, you'll see that there's another 30-odd chapters in the book of 1 Samuel, and then there's the rest of the Old Testament. So despite there being a very good start for Samuel, he's not going to be the ultimate solution to the world's problems. But as we saw last week, and as we know, as we work our way through the Old Testament, Hannah's story was a foreshadowing of something even better. A long-awaited child given from heaven to earth, not by a barren woman, but given from a heavenly father. The Lord Jesus, whose life was dedicated for a mission, whose life was given so that he would worship his father. And it's the Lord Jesus who was the son who wouldn't just speak the word, in fact, he is the word. While Samuel would grow up in the tabernacle, Jesus wouldn't just live there. He would, in fact, become this meeting place between God and man. And like Samuel, Jesus was set apart by the Father for his purposes to be realized. But unlike Samuel, who arrives at the temple with all these other sacrifices to be made on his behalf and on behalf of his family, Jesus becomes a sacrifice. And it's not in Shiloh, the special holy place. It's on a hill in Calvary on the outskirts of the sacred city of Jerusalem. And so as we saw last week, Jesus is the ultimate answer to all of these things that we ask God for. All of these situations which are crisis, all of these crossroads moments in life, or these seasons when we're in the fog, God has supremely made good on his word, as Elkanah was saying to Hannah that he hoped he would. You see, it's in Jesus that a firm foundation has been laid, so that all of God's plans could be built on them in a structure that's not like some modern building that just has all these faults and will eventually collapse, but something that has been built to last. So what are we going to do with this? Well, as we said last week, I think we need to believe in our hearts that we have a God who hears, because he's just shown himself so reliable at that. But we can also be a people who are bold in asking. Asking knowing that God is good and able to give. And then as he gives, dedicating what has been given to us for his purposes. Living a life of worship, living a life of surrender. And so maybe it's this idea of, is there one more slide? Of giving back to the one who's given to us. It's not giving so we can get. You see, that's the wrong order. God gives first, and then we give back. It's not just a moment. It's not that we have a commitment. It's not just a phase of our life where we do the church thing or the Jesus following. See, faith isn't just how we respond in the emotional crisis. It's not just asking God to get us out of our current mess or to ease a specific pain. The rhythm of life is giving back to the one who's given. Now, let's just make sure we understand what it isn't. It's not that God gives and we take. That's not the rhythm. Not this, here. It's I receive and then I give back what is given to me. And what's the fear? Well, clearly it's something we're going to lose, isn't it? How can I keep giving out? But that's the upside down nature of God's kingdom. We give back, but we don't lose out. Because we're giving what we've already received. Friends, Hannah, she loved her son, but she gave him back to the Lord. What's something you've been given that maybe you're holding on to a little bit too tight? Something you've been given and then you've just taken it. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your passion or even a sort of idea of a ministry. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's just your sort of plan of how your life's going to pan out. Friends, God is always inviting us to hold loosely that which he's given to us. Not to lose what's been given, but to dedicate it to the Lord. Because God gives us good things for good purposes. And anything that's surrendered to the Lord is never wasted. Hannah had no idea what Samuel would become. She didn't know how God would use her obedience, and neither do we. A small act of faith might ripple into something much bigger than we could ever imagine. So what are some things that we might have been given? Well, maybe there's seasons in life where you've been given time. What does it look like to give that back for the good of others? You might have been given particular interests, like things that you are like just passionate about or just really good at. What does it look like to give that to the work of God's kingdom, to the improvement of our wider society? Some people are given just an exorbitant amount of energy. How would you just use that for the good of others rather than just taking it for your own interest? Perhaps the simple things of making the effort to try and share a meal with someone else. Using your energy to help someone else who might be struggling with clutter around their house, or a garden that's just sort of overgrown. Painting someone's house, mowing someone's lawn, helping someone as they try and learn English. God builds his new thing as he gives to his people who ask of him, and then his people give back with joy. Friends, this is a description of a life lived, not you do you, but it's I trust in you, Lord. And through that, God is bringing visible manifestations of the new work that he's doing, the new work that will last. So what great news that is. Let's pray. Loving Father, we want to thank you so much that you are the generous God who has given yourself for us. Father, our need is monumental, but you have provided in every way. Father, as you're highlighting particular good things that you have given to us that we are perhaps holding on to,